welcome to season 3 of the Octavius Gould Experience, and I am your host, Octavius Gould. Today, I am excited to bring to you episode 33 titled, Public Speaking Without Fear. The purpose of this episode is to provide you all with tips on eliminating the fear of public speaking to become a more powerful speaker. I will touch on different types of high-consequence speaking situations, as well as how to prepare and overcome the fear of public speaking. My friends, over the course of my career, I have met countless people who were terrified or apprehensive to speak up in meetings, share their expertise on podcasts, or articulate a compelling message in front of an audience. In fact, preparing for this episode, I did some research, and I read that 75% of the population has a fear of public speaking. 5% of the world population struggle daily with glossophobia, which is the fear of public speaking. People who fear public speaking typically earn 10% less in yearly salary. And 26% of employers report losing career advancement opportunities due to anxiety with public speaking. Here's one that's interesting. The average person's heartbeat increases by almost 30 beats per minute when public speaking. I also know that entrepreneurs around the world have hindered their business growth at unbelievable clips because they are afraid to be the face of the company in public speaking situations. Think about it. Have you ever refrained from giving a toast or even speaking up in a meeting? Yes, that fear is real. Public speaking for some people can send chills down their spine, but it's a highly valued skill in our professional and personal lives. As a result, some people roadblock their careers, others come across as less of a subject matter expert than they are, and some even freeze, leading them to walk off the stage. I've never bolted from a stage, but I can recall early in my leadership career keeping my thoughts to myself in executive meetings. At times, I was afraid of misspeaking on a topic, while other times I felt like a golf ball was in my throat. I can even remember being interviewed on a TV show in high school after a football game for the first time. I was so nervous, but I felt that I did a good job. Wrong. Afterwards, one of my coaches pointed out how many times I said, Up to that point, I thought saying what's known as a filler word such as was a natural thing. But watching that show a day later, I realized that I took away from my message. Thankfully, I worked hard to develop my skill set over the years by reading effective communication, attending communication workshops, and practicing public speaking techniques. I rarely use now because nothing makes me cringe more than catching myself slip on my podcast. Why is this important? In any public speaking setting, filler words such as is very distracting. The great thing is, this misstep can be eliminated with practice. I'll touch on various techniques in upcoming episodes, so make sure that you subscribe to my podcast so that you can be alerted to future episodes. For now, one skill to develop is the art of pausing when you speak. Now, at first it will feel uncomfortable, but you'll master it by eliminating those filler words and like. Pausing will enable you to think through your thoughts while improving audience comprehension. If you listen closely, you will notice me pausing strategically throughout my podcast. So, what is this public speaking thing all about? It is about creating and delivering compelling messages to your audience. This was normally done more in person, but post-pandemic, it's often done virtually as well. The most skilled public speakers know their audience and strive to keep people engaged with topics that matter most to them. Even if you're knowledgeable on a particular topic, you can't just wing it. It's mission critical that you plan, prepare, and practice. Here's what's interesting. Titles don't make for a great public speaker. I'm sure you all have witnessed CEOs, vice presidents, and some of the wealthiest people in the world fumble in front of a microphone. One time I re-recorded my entire 45-minute podcast episode before even listening to it because I knew I did not hit the mark. I was tired, and I could sense that I was lacking my normal passion and energy. Some people would have put that episode out and kept it moving, not me. Because one of the things that I've realized over the course of my 25-year career as a vice president of sales, executive coach, and entrepreneur is that every opportunity we are presented with to convey a message to one or more people could turn out to be the opportunity of a lifetime. All it takes is for you to strike a chord with the right person who has influence or to go viral in our social media-driven world, and boom. You may raise your profile, increase and enhance your influence, and enhance your financial status. According to the research and markets report that I perused preparing for this episode, I learned that professional and motivational speaking is a $1.9 billion market. That's amazing. Tremendous opportunity. People and companies are spending thousands of dollars every year to hear professional speakers like Oprah, Susie Orman, Damon John, and Tony Robbins, who has an estimated net worth of about $600 million. The power of our voice and knowledge to help others is amazing. Motivational speakers like Eric Thomas will tell you that it took hard work to develop his speaking prowess. E.T. said, and I quote, "When you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful." Let that marinate. Professional athletes who are now retired, like Shannon Sharp and the three gentlemen on the Pivot podcast, are reinventing themselves by transcending the podcast game. Imagine this. No one would have heard of presidents such as Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, Reagan, and Obama, as well as Martin Luther King, if they had not developed into powerful, effective public speakers. Public speeches or keynotes vary, but they can be grouped into three categories. One, persuasive. Two, informative. And three, entertaining. Persuasive speaking is used when the goal is to persuade others to take a course of action, to change their thoughts and beliefs, or reconsider a decision. Now, who would you think can do this very well? If anyone said politicians, then you're right, because they do it extremely well, whether they're Republican or Democrat. Most politicians who are great at what they do or great at getting elected utilize persuasive speaking extremely well. Then you have, as I mentioned, informative speaking. This is now the most prevalent speaking out of the three that I mentioned due to social media and virtual speaking platforms. The purpose of this type of public speaking is to share your subject matter expertise with your audience. Entertaining speaking can include multiple situations such as presenting and accepting awards, telling jokes, wedding toasts, or even delivering heartfelt eulogies at funerals. What about motivational speaking? Motivational speaking can be a subset of all three: persuasive, informative, and entertaining. Consider this. Year over year, communication skills were the number one skill that college graduates found useful in the business world, according to multiple studies. There are personal benefits you'll get from both investing in yourself by enhancing your communication skills and becoming a great public speaker. So what are some of those benefits? They include: one, overcoming fear of public speaking; two, developing critical thinking skills; and three, enhancing nonverbal and verbal skills. There are speakers out there using gimmicks to win over their audience, but the key is to develop your skills, creating a compelling message that appeals to your target audience, and to be passionate about whatever you're speaking about. Allow me to take this a step further. Too many people spend time and money perfecting their communication skills. However, they spend very little time perfecting the message they want to convey. The most skilled speakers in the world spend significant time ascertaining who their audience will be and what message resonates the best with them. It's all about making a connection with your audience, getting them on the edge of their seat, and then making them crave for more. If you do those things, you'll be memorable. If you're memorable, you'll be booked for more high-stakes speaking situations, including work-related events. Since I don't have a guest on this episode, I had a few people who I am connected to on social media submit questions. The first question: How can I improve my fear of public speaking? Oh, that's the big one. I recommend taking an effective communication workshop. But if you have other financial priorities, start with subscribing to my podcast, which is free, since I will be releasing future episodes with additional guidance. My tips will give you greater awareness and build your self-confidence. For now, develop a relaxation routine before you speak in public. I like to do so 15 minutes before speaking. I'll go to a quiet space and stretch my upper body to release tension. I also breathe in deeply and exhale slowly to release negative energy. I'll then review notes on my phone of 5 key reminders from my professional speaking coach that I worked with in 2018. One is a smile, open my mouth, pause, don't pace the stage, and to utilize my hands to shape my thoughts. And lastly, visualize your success. It will give you an emotional energizer. Next question. Should I always use PowerPoints when presenting in meetings or speaking in public? This is a big one. Now, this is controversial because some people will lean on the side of using PowerPoints all of the time, while others will say, in 2024, live on the edge. Get away from those PowerPoints and rely on the power of your voice. I am in that category. I think that it's okay to utilize PowerPoints, but don't be over-reliant on the PowerPoint. The workshops and coaching I've received demonstrated how to be a more powerful communicator without the over-reliance of PowerPoints, as I mentioned. It helped me tremendously. There were times prior to getting that development and coaching where I read too much verbiage straight from the slides or flooded the slides with content. You've been there. You've seen people put up a PowerPoint slide and they have 20 sentences. You can't even read it, especially if you're in the back of the audience. Even if you're on a Zoom call, you can't even read the verbiage. Keep in mind, presentation aids can make or break your message by making it clearer or more difficult to understand. But you can differentiate yourself at times by skipping the PowerPoints and keeping the attention and focus solely on yourself. As I mentioned previously, ascertain beforehand everything you can about your audience and what's important to them, not what's important to you or what you feel like talking about. Then make your presentation or speech more interactive and include some audience participation. You want to keep people engaged. Storytelling is an effective alternative to using PowerPoints. Most motivational speakers and even comedians are excellent at painting a picture with verbal and non-verbal communication without using PowerPoints. When you do use PowerPoints, my friends, just remember best practices such as limiting the number of sentences on each slide, using bullet format, font type, font size, and even color. And also, be intentional about what images you embed into your PowerPoint to ensure that they align well with the message. Whatever you do, do not read off the PowerPoint word for word. So many people do that, even professional speakers, executives, and it will lose your audience. They'll also respect you less as a speaker. And remember, audience participation levels will begin to drop off dramatically after about 30 minutes. So if you do use PowerPoints, make sure that it does not lengthen your presentation too long. I also recommend making public speaking presentations in a dialogue form instead of a monologue. A monologue is like this podcast episode where I am solo without a guest or audience participation. I am trying to drop gems on the art of public speaking. In contrast, a dialogue presentation is paramount to your success when speaking in front of an audience. It will make you more engaged as a speaker and more attentive to how your audience is responding. Another question came in. How much time should I prepare for a public speaking event? The time needed for presentation preparation depends on how well-versed you are in the subject matter and your experience as a speaker. There's a quote that I use often from Tony Robbins that goes, "People don't plan to fail, they fail to plan." Also, don't procrastinate by waiting until the last minute to prepare. interview the stakeholders weeks in advance to ascertain important details about the event theme and your target audience. Prepare your content and messaging, then practice, practice, and practice some more. And this just came to mind. One of the challenges you will face as a public speaker is how to respond effectively to an audience question. If you get questions from your audience, and you should open it up to a Q&A at the end, remember to listen effectively by listening to comprehend and not to respond. Then get comfortable with pausing to think through your response before answering the question in a very concise manner. Concise being the key word. Oh, I can talk and I have a lot of experience, so I continue to work on being more concise. This includes public speaking situations and daily professional or personal communication. The love of my life will tell you that I speak too much, and sometimes I can go on and on and on and on. We laughed about this a couple of weeks ago, and I realized that I still, even at this point of my professional and personal life, need to work on being more concise. It's almost like the more you know, the more you want to say. Sometimes less is more. Here's another tidbit. As speakers, we often have little or no control over the venue setup. But you want to make sure that you get on top of the logistics ahead of time. Do not be bashful about requesting such things as your preferred microphone or the ability to use your own laptop. You should also arrive at the venue in advance to get a feel for the room, a feel for the stage, a feel for the lighting, as well as the audience seating setup. This will also provide you with time to do a quick test run. And that's really important. You can have the best speech prepared. You can practice day in and day out. You get to the venue, and because you didn't arrive early, you didn't have an opportunity to do that quick test run that I mentioned, and next thing you know, you have technology issues. The sound check isn't done, so your voice isn't coming across as clear, or they're static, or you have issues with the laptop that you're using that belongs to the venue instead of utilizing the laptop that you're accustomed to and familiar with. So make sure that you take control of your own opportunity and try and get the tools and resources that you need up front. My friends, in closing, public speaking is an invaluable skill that can enhance your professional and personal life. The pandemic of 2020 created normalcy with virtual presentations, creating more opportunities for people to position themselves as influencers and thought leaders. The fear of public speaking can be eliminated with self-development. The success of public speaking can be achieved with human connection. The key is, if you are a person who is afraid of public speaking today, seek out mentors or get coaching from people who are true experts at their craft. There are so many people on social media portraying themselves to be the next speaking guru. Don't go to a workshop before witnessing their true ability. And if they are great at what they do, then maybe that's someone you want to get coached by or attend one of their workshops to enhance your skill set so that you can become as great as them. But be careful. Again, there are so many people on social media portraying themselves to be more than they are. You first must work on that fear, that inner fear that will prevent you from, one, seeking help, and two, from speaking out. Once you practice and you identify your areas of opportunities, not weaknesses, your area of opportunity for improvement, and you start developing that skill and competency, you will become more confident at speaking, whether it's in a personal or professional situation. And once you build that confidence and you work on techniques such as breathing and pausing and audience awareness, you'll become great. And when you become great, the world can fall into your hands, fall into your lap, and you can create opportunities once thought to be impossible. Please hit like, share, and subscribe to my podcast now so you can be alerted to future episodes. Thank you all so much. I will see you on the next episode, Carpe Diem.